people like us.
Excuse me.
What?
I'm trying to get to Aileron House.
Are you? How are you going to do that?
Well, I was going to go along here to the end and turn left.
This will be good.
In terms of the annual number of statistics, Heathrow Airport is the busiest airport in the known world compared to other airports.
See right over the far side of the car park?
Yes.
Where that taxi's just stopping?
Yes.
I'd walk over there and get in it.
Right, thank you very much.
The airport itself covers an overall area, and you only need to be driven right round it 4 or 5 times to realise that it is, in effect, a small, self-contained city with all the facilities and infrastructure that a modern city needs, such as an airport.
Good morning, can I help you?
Yes, sir. I'm supposed to be meeting Amanda Fisher.
Meeting her?
Yes.
Oh, you mean you've got some sort of official appointment?
Yes.
All right. Can I just take your details and I suppose I better write you out a pass?
Thank you. Yes, it's Roy Mallard.
Roy Mallard.
Right, actually there are 2 L's in Mallard.
You can just leave that for me.
Right.
Aileron House is the gleaming new headquarters of one of the country's most successful airlines, which we aren't able to name for obvious aerodynamic reasons. I've come here to spend the day with a pilot and to find out what it's like to have what must surely be one of the most responsible jobs imaginable, especially if you've got a very graphic imagination.
And your company?
It's BBC.
And how do you spell that?
Well, it's the...
Roy?
Yes, it is, yes.
Hello, Roy. It's Amanda Fisher.
Oh, hello.
Hello. I thought I'd come down to meet you, you know.
Right, yes, thank you.
This is the reception area where we meet people such as yourself who've come here in the first instance.
Oh, good.
Even though we employ a total of 42,000 people worldwide.
Really? Well, that's...
And that includes Europe.
Oh, I see, yes.
Right, if you'd just like to clip this pass onto your, your sort of...
The jacket.
Jacket?
Yes.
Okay, then. Keep the pass with you at all times during the day.
Yes, of course. So
you found your way here all right, then?
Yes. Thank you. It was.
You need to clip it on.
Yes, no, it's just.
Did you find a map?
Yes, thank you. I've used it for over an hour this morning already, and it was.
This building is 3 years old.
Right.
You're not allowed to just carry it in your hand.
Yes, I'm not really carrying it. It's just sort of stuck to tip to my finger, really. How does it? Is there a quick release mechanism? It's a bit.
Right. If you'd like to follow me, I'll talk you through what I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you.
Amanda Fisher is flight crew communications officer for the airline that, for the purposes of this program, we're going to refer to as Anonymous.
This whole area we're in now is called Ops.
Ops? What's that short for?
It's short for convenience.
Oh, good, right. Gosh, it's all very impressive.
All our pilots retire at 55.
Good. That's
I've arranged for you to spend some time first with Dick Humphreys, who will be SFO today on the flight to Edinburgh.
Right, I presume that's short for convenience, too.
Yes, that's right. He's really called Richard.
I see, yes.
The building itself has been designed to be invisible to radar, especially from the outside.
Really? Well, the taxi driver was certainly funny if he'd come in on...
Hi, Richard.
Morning, Amanda.
Richard, this is Roy Mallard.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Hello, Richard Humphreys. It's nice to... Oh, yes, sorry. Is that...
Yes, that's my security pass.
Well, why didn't you clip it onto your,
it's fine. I'm just keeping it in my hand at the moment. It's much more, handy.
To explain what we've planned for you, Roy. Richard's here so that you can ask any questions you might have before preparations for the flight begin.
Well, that's very good of you.
It's a pleasure for him.
Not at all.
Right.
And then Nigel Connors, who'll be captain today, will be here at about 11 o'clock, and you'll be joining Nigel and Richard for the pre-flight briefing and so on, which will also be a pleasure.
Oh, good.
The flight itself is at 12:30. In the meantime, can I get either of you coffee or tea?
Well, a coffee would be lovely, yes.
Yes, thanks, Amanda. Coffee.
Right, 2 coffees. Would you like them in parallel?
Yes.
No, not for me, thanks.
Okay, 1 in parallel and 1 serially.
Right.
Richard Humphreys inherited his love of flying from his father and was all set to join the RAF too, but was prevented from doing so at the last moment when a routine selection test suddenly revealed that he'd failed. Undaunted by this, he picked himself up off the ground, which is where he still was, obviously, and focused all his efforts on making the grade with the airline whose name I'm not mentioning as a CEPFS, or Cadet Entry Pilot for short.
So the aircraft we're flying today is a 757-200, which, as the name suggests, is one of the most popular short-haul aircraft currently in service.
Right.
So basically you've got a crew of 2, a pilot who's the captain and a co-pilot who will usually be a senior first officer.
Oh, SFO.
No, not OSFO, just SFO.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see. No, that's quite different. That's officer in charge, I think. Slightly confusing, I know. Do stop if I say anything that doesn't make sense.
Right.
What?
No, nothing. No, I just... So, what? Yes, actually, something I've always been fascinated by, never really grasped properly, is, I mean, basically, how a plane stays in the air.
Oh, yes, right.
Yes. I mean, I remember doing it in physics at school, but there was so much theory that I...
Well,
I
just the theory is why it stays up.
Yes, but...
I mean, if you took away the theory, even for a moment, it would just plummet like a stone.
Yes, right, but I mean...
basically, it's all to do with... Well, shall I draw it on the board?
Well, yes, that would be...
Basically, it's all to do with pressure differences between the top and bottom of the wing.
Right. Isn't it something to do with why a cricket ball swings through the air?
No, that's a complete fluke.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah. So this is your basic aerofoil shape.
Right.
This is the cross-section, obviously.
Oh, good.
Okay. Now, you'll notice that the top of the wing has this nice, steep curve to it.
Yes, it's very nice.
So yeah. We'll label this side S for steep.
Right, okay.
Whereas the bottom has a much more shallow curve. So let's label this side S for shallow.
Right, S.
Now, if you imagine two pieces of identical air approaching the wing together here...
Right.
We'll call this one particle A,
yeah.
And this one particle A as well, because they're identical.
Yes, right.
Now, they get divided here, at the front edge of the wing, which we'll call F, for front, but they've got to meet up again at the trailing edge at the point where these flaps are.
Mm.
So we'll call that F, the flaps.
Right.
So particle A has got to pass over S here to point F, in exactly the same time.
Richard explained that an aircraft stays in the air because on windy days, sections of atmosphere travel at differential pressures during takeoff, generating crossover thrust the higher you go between two identical speeds.
Whereas trailing edge flaps, these are inboard.
Right. Good, good. And presumably the longer the runway, the more of a run at it you get.
Sorry?
Right, yeah. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
I've organised your coffee for you.
Oh, thank you.
It's on its way. The mill's currently at Stansted.
Excellent.
Right.
So, has Richard told you everything you need to know?
Yes, he's been...
Goodness me, he's even drawn you a map of Eastern Europe.
Well...
Now, you're not a nervous flyer, are you, or anything like that?
Oh, no. What I always say is, what is there to be nervous about? I mean, what is there to be...
Or afraid of confined spaces?
No. Confined spaces.
You'll be flying with Richard and Nigel on the flight deck today.
Oh, how... Oh.
Morning, everyone.
Oh, Nigel.
Morning, Amanda. Morning, Richard.
Morning.
Morning. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Roy Mallard.
No, really, it is.
Right, well, morning.
Good morning.
It's nice...
Oh. Sorry, yes.
What's that?
Just my part.
Well, this is Nigel Connors.
Wouldn't it be easy to clip onto your...
No, really, it's fine. I just reckon put my hand on it whenever I...
He doesn't want to let go of it.
Okay, understood.
Captain Nigel Connors has over 20 years' experience as a pilot. He's now amongst the most senior pilots employed by Anonymous Airways and has flown into every major European airport, Barcelona.
Well, we ought to be getting over the briefing if you're ready.
Yes, he is.
Yes, absolutely. Copy that.
What?
Copy that. Let's go.
Like most pilots of his age, he's 49, lives in Surrey and is married with two children. His wife, Vicky, was once herself an air stewardess, though they actually met through their local tennis club, where she used to change into tennis kit.
Right, okay, that all looks okay. Bit of an occlusion over Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
That's nothing to worry about at the moment.
An occlusion?
Yes, that's this big dark area over here. Look.
Oh, yes, my God, it's enormous.
No, that's America.
Oh, right. Yes.
You're not a nervous flyer, are
you? No, not at all.
Or afraid of
the No, I'm not, no.
Right.
The mention of a briefing room had conjured up monochrome images of a Nissan hut with brill-creamed pilots sitting in rows with pipes and a wing commander standing in front of a large blackboard with wooden legs. The reality, though, couldn't be further from the truth. These days, it's a high-tech space full of open-plan people staring at screens.
So, here we've got everything we need to know about the plane we'll be flying today.
Good.
Including, of course, any defects we ought to be aware of.
Right.
So, our ID today will be G.BMRD.
What do you mean defects?
Sorry?
Defects. So is that the code, you know, for sort of delta wing engines?
No, it just means defects.
What do you mean it just means defects?
Well, it's only as complicated as an aircraft. There are bound to be defects, and certain defects are allowable, though it's as smart that we know what they are.
But, so...
It's just like a car. I mean, if you think about it, no matter how good or new your car is, there are going to be one or two things that don't work properly, like, I don't know, say, interior light or something. But you'd still say your car's absolutely safe to drive.
But my car stays on the ground there.
So, this one looks fine. Yes. 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 Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, I thought that.
What is it?
Well, this is telling us that the main runway at Edinburgh's closed.
Crashed. I mean, closed.
Yes, which is useful to know.
Runway 2 left is what they're offering us.
Yeah.
That's Only 1,700 metres. Interesting approach, too.
Yeah, still gives us a sporting chance, I suppose.
Good. Excellent.
With an hour before takeoff, it was time for Nigel and Richard to go airside, or board the aircraft, and they were taken there direct from Aileron House by special bus, which for obvious insecurity reasons I wasn't allowed to travel on. Instead, Amanda and I went outside side, and she drove me to the check-in at Terminal 3.
We currently fly to 97 countries, not counting the luggage involved.
Really?
Good morning, have you got a ticket with you?
Yes, good morning, right.
Overall, we have up to a total average of over 42 757s.
Good, right, there you are.
It's all right, sir, I don't actually need to see your security pass.
Right, no, I'll just put it in my pocket with my hand.
We've got another 20 minutes or so before the passengers start to board.
Right.
Good morning.
Hello, Laura. This is Roy Mallard, who's... Roy, this is Laura Forrester, who'll be part of our cabin services team today.
Right.
Some would say the best part, in fact, of my tonight.
Nigel's told me all about Mr. Mallard.
Oh, has he? That's very good.
Can I get you a drink before we start?
Nigel?
Oh, well, that's the way.
Or would you like me to take your bath?
Well, I... Actually, a small glass.
Right, good morning.
Oh. Hello. Ah, Roy, this is...
Ruth Andrews, Cabin Services
Ruth
Director.
Andrews. Right. Roy Mallard, sort of...
I understand you've insisted on being on the flight deck today.
Well, I...
No, you'll not be standing here in the way too long.
No, right. You'd have to get a large glass.
Laura, will you make ready the luggage lockers now, please?
Yes, Ruth, of course I will.
Right, bye then, Laura. Perhaps talk to you...
I assume you'll be wanting to get rid of your donkey coat.
Well, it's not actually.
And I'll take your security pass too.
Oh, no. That's
quite unnecessary to carry it around in that fashion.
No, well.
Ow!
Enjoy your flight.
Thank you.
And these towers are full of nitrogen.
Yes, they look quite.
Yeah, they're inflated to a pressure of something like 150 pounds per square inch.
Gosh, per inch. That's why they're so big, presumably.
Another interesting thing about them is that they're designed to melt.
Good.
Your finger bleeding?
No, it's fine.
As a passenger, it's comforting to know that before every single flight, either the captain or co-pilot carries out an analysis of the aircraft's technical condition by walking around it and looking at it.
So what are you actually looking for when you do this?
Well, basically anything that might be visible to the naked eye that our instruments on the flight deck might not tell us.
Right, so what, if something's dropped off or, you know, deflected?
Not really, just things that help me build up a general picture. I mean, that tells me something straight away, for instance.
What?
See that dented area above our head?
Dented area?
Yeah. Just look up where...
Oh!
All right.
Yes, the engine.
Yeah.
The dented area?
Yes. See that? Well, that tells me that there's been some lightning damage quite recently, and there's been a bit of patching up.
Lightning?
Ooh! Okay. Well, you all right?
Yeah.
Giving yourself a bit of hammering.
Yeah, I'm fine. It's nothing to see. I mean, the aircraft all right?
Air conditioning?
Set.
Exterior inspection.
Daisy.
Hydraulic systems.
Full.
Cockpit preparation.
Complete.
Flight instruments.
Set.
Passenger signs.
Auto on.
Brakes.
Set to park.
Right. You all right back there?
Set. I mean, check. You know, fine. Yes. Yeah.
Good.
Quite close to the, you know, the front. I mean, but you know, the outside, really.
I know it looks small in here, but there's a lot more space than you think.
Is there?
And the jump seat's actually quite comfortable.
Jump seat?
The flight deck on a large modern passenger jet is a lot smaller and more cramped than you might think in the hours and minutes before you go into it. The captain and co-pilot sit in intriguingly battered seats, boxed in on all sides by a mixture of high-tech computer displays and banks of really old switches, buttons and dials, a number of them pointing to zero.
Satellite whiskey. One time.
Okay, there's one or two things I need to tell you about.
Right.
In the event of an accident...
Oh, right, yes.
The escape route is the door you came in through behind you.
Good.
And then you'll have an external door immediately to your right.
Fine, excellent.
And if for any reason the door behind you is blocked...
Yes, because of the accident.
There's an alternative way out through these windows on either side of us.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, the top of the tiny ones.
Yeah, and there are ropes here and over there for that eventuality.
Oh, good. Right. Ropes.
Good. Now, in the event of sudden decompression...
Yes, would this be part of the accident, or could it just happen at any old time?
Well, it won't happen.
No, of course it
won't. No, but if it does...
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Well, you know how in the cabin you have oxygen masks which drop down automatically and you put them on?
Yes, yeah.
Well, we don't have those here.
Right, I see.
Suddenly risky.
You see that red handle up to your right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you'll need to squeeze it and pull it towards you at the same time.
Right.
And you'll find that... Don't do it now.
Sorry.
That is your oxygen mask, which you'll find is actually like a hood.
Hood, yes.
And what you have to do is put it over your head.
Head,
and
yeah.
You'll find it'll actually suck on to the shape of your head.
You all right?
Yes, fine, yes. Yeah.
It sounds a bit odd, I know, but it's actually quite straightforward.
Yes, yes, Sorry, where were the ropes?
With pre-flight preparations complete and the passenger gantry fully retracted to prevent anyone getting off, it was now time to begin lurching slowly backwards.
Bottle 8 whiskey. Thank you. Clear to push back, facing east.
Brakes are off.
Brakes off. Clear my side.
Clear right.
Okay, and start right engine.
Right engine start.
Bottle 8 whiskey. Clear line up, 27 left. Thank you.
That's actually a 5-point safety harness.
Oh, right, yes, 5 points. Thank you.
Within a few minutes, and with the left engine showing an EGT of 460 degrees per foot, we were bouncing and thumping slowly forwards and up and down under our own power.
Looks like the Lufthansa thinks he is.
Yeah, shall I nip up round the inside and surprise him?
No, don't. No.
The thing you're looking for is actually between your legs.
Pardon? Oh, I see. Right. Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah, and you've got two more inertia reel straps to come over your shoulders here and here to clip into.
Right.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello, Laura.
Can I get it?
Oh, sorry.
Can I get anybody anything to drink before we...
Oh, mineral water for me, please. That's very lovely of you.
Mineral water?
Yes, apple juice, Laura, please.
I wouldn't mind a large glass of...
Would you like me to help you with that?
Oh, well... Yes, perhaps you'd like to hold this.
Laura, there's a lady in 31B having trouble with her air vent.
Right.
I imagine she'd appreciate some help and friendly advice.
It's of course, Ruth.
Right. Now, are any of you gentlemen going to be asking for drinks?
No, thanks.
No.
With six or seven other aircraft now lumbering from various directions towards the end of the runway, it's exactly like a scaled-up, slowed-down and much more flammable version of queuing at a busy roundabout in the morning rush hour, and indeed the simple rule followed by all pilots in this situation is give way to the Germans.
Engine's warm. Wind is on the left.
Shuttle 8 whiskey. Yeah, take off 27 left. Thank you.
Okay, ready?
Ready. No, not ready. Not quite. I'm in the thing on.
Right, just get your hands out of the way.
Oh.
Oh, God, no wonder it's all sweaty.
Well, it's really small in here. I mean hot.
Right. Just... leave it alone now.
Yes, okay, right, thank you.
Yeah, right, we're going. Set power.
Power set.
Okay.
80. V1. And rotate.
Rotate? I can't. How can
climbing at an engine pressure ratio of 1,400 altimeters per foot, we were through low cloud and almost before I could draw breath into clear blue white sunshine. Sunshine.
Shuttle 8 whiskey, flight level 330. Thank you, London.
Right.
Height 330.
So, Roy, basically what we've... Roy?
Yes.
Have you dropped something?
No, not really. I was just having a look at my knees.
Yeah, basically, what we've got here is a glass cockpit.
Just glass?
What that means is that we have screens with visual displays in front of us here, as opposed to the older analogue cockpits, which only had dials and so on.
All right.
So, for instance, this display in front of me tells me, of course, the position of the aircraft in relation to the horizon.
Right. We should be above it, presumably.
And what Richard is doing now is making up a route for our slightly unusual arrival in Edinburgh.
He's just making it up.
He's defining points on what he thinks is the most appropriate approach and entering them into the computer. And the autopilot can then fly the aircraft according to those parameters.
Right.
But as well as flying the aircraft, the computer also alerts us to anything that it regards as abnormal, that it thinks we need to know about, like any kind of system failure.
Good.
Well, let me give you an example.
No, you don't need to. I believe you. Just,
So, it's reasonably warm in here at the moment?
Yes, it is.
But the temperature out there on the other side of the window is currently minus 55 degrees Celsius.
Is it?
So there's actually a tiny, thin layer of gold running through the middle of the glass. And if the windows weren't heated, we'd be looking at inches of ice.
Right.
So, if I take out the window heating system for a moment, which is this switch above your head...
I'll imagine it. You don't have to...
No. See, immediately in front of me on the screen, I have window heat failure flashing at me.
Yeah.
So that's my first warning.
Very good, yeah. So now you can turn it back on.
If I pretend I haven't seen it...
But you have. Pretend you have.
Supposing for some reason I'm busy looking at something else at the moment...
Like the ice.
And I don't do anything about it, then within seconds... Okay? There. It's a belt and braces philosophy we operate on. Safety is no accident.
Sorry, you realise that's my shoulder, you're... Sorry.
With so much to look at and try to hang on to on the flight deck, time was literally flying, and we had already started to descend straight towards Edinburgh. Our final approach involved banking left over the Firth of Forth in such a way that, glancing at the window on my left, which was now directly beneath me, I could quite clearly make out the sunlight sparkling on individual beads of sweat.
Okay, so, you can see the runway now, and that's about 4 miles away.
Gear down, flaps 20.
Gear down, flaps 20. See it?
No, it's too small.
One.
There, look, directly ahead in front of us.
No, I can see it. It's too small. It's too small.
100.
When it came to the landing itself, Richard dropped the wheels onto the tarmac with absolutely no fuss or warning.
Brakes on.
First thrust.
Full. It's too short.
The economics of air travel dictate that any aircraft should be in the air for as much of the time as possible. For the crew, this means a hurried lunch taken in the empty seats back in the cabin before the next group of passengers board for the return journey to Heathrow.
So you eat the same food that the passengers do?
Oh, yeah. Although...
Very nice of you too, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Laura. Although Richard and I aren't allowed to eat the same meal.
Oh, really?
Well, that's just in case. If one of us did come down with something, then the other one would still be okay.
Good, right. So I wanted to ask you about the pressure that you're under as pilots, because, I mean, you are, in effect, making life and death decisions all the time. Well, not death, obviously, because...
I'd be happy to open that up for you.
I think I'm nearly there now, but thanks anyway. Yours is a job...
What's me?
Yours is a job where...
When you're ready, gentlemen, I think we have an aircraft to fly.
Right, okay.
Right.
I was just talking to her.
Have we sufficient newspapers for the incoming passengers, Laura?
I'll go and check.
Would you do that?
Of course, Ruth.
Thank you.
Bye, Laura.
Yes, so yours is a job, sorry, just before you go, yours is a job where every day hundreds of people are routinely willing to put their lives at your disposal, though that would obviously be a worst-case scenario. But, I mean, are you always conscious of the responsibility, or do you eventually just get used to it?
It's something you're always...
There we go, sorry, lovely, sorry.
No, you're always conscious of the responsibility, and it's the pressure. I mean, every single decision we make simply has to be correct. We have to be right all the time. Well, there can't be too many jobs like that.
No, well, perhaps hope.
Right. Are you enjoying that?
Yes, lovely and moist. Very nice.
It's a free country, of course, but you realise it's your hand weight you've eaten.
Lovely.
I expect we'll be sitting around on the tarmac for hours before we finally get off the ground.
Yeah.
You want one of these magazines? They're rubbish.
No thanks. I manage Roy.
I mean, what's the point in going through the whole charade of asking you where you want to sit?
Well,
I ask is not for a window seat. Make it quite clear. Where do you bloody end up?
Yes. Nigel and Richard's joint idea was that sitting in the passenger cabin for the return journey would leave me free to consider the human side of air travel as it affected ordinary people.
And you make a point of saying, near the centre of the air...
Are you all right? That was just the wing flaps being set for vertical rotating. It's nothing to... It's quite normal.
As it turned out, though, I was sitting next to Peter, a man in his mid to late 30s with a beard and a white face, whose other life circumstances were nothing to me.
It's all to do with creating more pressure for the... you play cricket?
Good.
If you want to swap seats so you don't have to sit by...
I'm all right.
Okay, good.
Shut up.
Yeah, good. Right. Well, here we go. I think this is quite normal. So, I mean, sorry.
Can I help you?
Right. Well.
I'm not, you know...
No.
It's just...
Yes. Ow.
I mean, in the end, I agreed to go on a fear of flying course.
Good.
That made it 10 times worse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you realise they don't even look out the window?
Oh, you see, they don't need to, because it's a glass cockpit.
All they do is stare at a load of bloody screens.
Yeah, but they've got ropes and everything. See, no safety is an accident. No, I mean, no accidents.
The point is, what if the information on their screens isn't correct?
Well,
You see, that's what happened in America when that jet crashed straight into a river in this documentary just after 2 years.
Yeah, well, let's not.
Turns out they never had full power on at any time, because the engines were full of bloody ice.
Should we let go hands
of course, sensors iced up as well, so they thought everything was fine.
Did they?
They're just staring at their screens and thinking, yawn, yawn, another day at the office, next thing, straight into a bridge and...
Yes.
Please don't leave me.
I'm sorry, I'm with the BBC.
Level at 3,800. That's the Serpentine down there, Lufroy, and Buckingham Palace. Can you see?
No.
And over there, that's a good view of Canary Wharf, look.
Hmm. I was eager to get back to the flight deck to enjoy my second landing of the day. Because of correctly functioning instruments, we flew over both Tower Bridge and the river beneath it on the descent into Heathrow, landing in a crosswind which forced Nigel to fly the aircraft sideways for the last 2 miles and meant that I couldn't actually see the runway at all until well after I'd opened my eyes.
Here's your sort of duffel.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
You'll be okay now.
Yes, yes, thank you. Yes.
The little schoolgirl, the memory. Oh, hello.
Hello, I was just...
Hi, Laura.
I was just...
What happened? We thought you'd gone.
Yeah, I was going, and then I thought I might just, you know, sit down for a while and take in the air conditioning, and...
You never helped me on with my coat, Laura.
Modern air flying means that pilots today lead paradoxical lives. The core of what they do is fundamentally and meticulously routine. But beneath this always, sometimes up to about 40,000 feet beneath it, lies the potential for the most intense human drama it's possible to imagine. Very easily.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed your flight with us.
Yes, yes, thank you very much. I've learned a tremendous amount.
Yes, have we? Yes.
Yes.
Right, well, thank you again, and goodbye.
You don't really need to salute.
Oh, right, good. Right.
Are you not gone yet? Laura, you must let the gentleman go.
The old bag, all I was...
He's just going, Ruth. Yes, he's just going.
Right, yes, I'm just going. Right. Thank you. Good.
Perhaps one day computers will replace pilots automatically. In the meantime, for most of us, it's comforting to know that every time we fly, our destinies are in the hands of people basically like us, with real human strengths and really good training.
Rory, hello.
Hello.
So how did it... Are you okay?
Yes, lovely, thank you.
I've got my car and I'll drive you back.
No, that's fine, thanks, I'll walk.
But it's miles, let me...
No, no, really, I'll just stay in contact with, you know, with my feet.
Air travel worldwide has grown by 7% in the last decade.
Good.
Roy Mallard would like to give a special thank you to Chris Langham, and also to Hugh Bonneville, Jonathan Coy, Kathy Sara, Fiona Allen, Joanna Brooks, Kim Wall, and Rex Brough. The programme was written by John Morton and produced by Paul Schlesinger.